Welcome to the Chocolate Cake Bites podcast. This is a podcast where we will discuss the sweet nuggets of goodness that come from living the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm your host, Ken Williams. The opinions, attitudes, thoughts, and ideas that we discuss are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily a reflection of the actual doctrines of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Thanks for listening and enjoy this week's conversation.
And this week it is a focus on Easter. It's going to be a quick episode, and I'm not quite sure where I want to go with it. I heard, I think this was on the Cultural Hall podcast. I mean, I don't remember for sure, but I think it was the Latter-day Lights podcast, which I've been on before, and I think I have shared on this before, but there was a recent podcast by Nathan Bradford, and I'll put his link tree in the show notes. I've not listened to all of his music, but he has come up with music that he has tied in with Easter. I'm going to play just part of it, I think, if I can get that to... This is part of his Easter soundtrack. And he's got, in this playlist, he's got 29 different pieces of music. Like I said, I've not listened to all of them, but he's got this music that just kind of takes us through the Easter season. So I thought about reaching out to him to have him on the podcast. At some point, I may do that. And until then, let me just talk briefly about Easter and my thoughts. I have heard some people say that Easter is a kid's holiday because a lot of the Easter events, the egg coloring, the Easter egg hunts, the baskets, the candy, all that really to a large degree geared towards kids. And at some point they grow up and kind of grow out of that. I do remember many, 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 many years ago, I was, it was a Sunday morning, Easter Sunday morning, and my dad, I think, was at church for different meetings, and my mom was in her bedroom just getting ready for Sunday, and we had the TV on in the living room. We were watching Shirley Temple. I don't remember which movie it was, but I remember checking the fridge and seeing that the colored eggs were there. And some period later, I checked the fridge again and the eggs were gone. And so it was magical that the Easter bunny had come and hidden the eggs. And we, shortly after that, I think was when my dad came home and we had our egg hunt, and it was wonderful. It was a lot of fun. Then I got married, and the fun thing about getting married is you get to decide what your family traditions are going to be. And we had, Marcine and I had very different traditions from when we were growing up for both Easter and for Christmas. I really don't remember right now what her Easter tradition was. But I also remember in the morning, Easter morning, I would always wake up and my Easter basket would be right next to me, right next to my bed. And I would have all the wonderful candy, the malted Easter egg eggs, Easter egg, the little candy eggs. Those were great. And then I'm not a big fan of the Easter bunnies, the hollow chocolate things, but the Reese's eggs, those are all right. I can deal with those. And Marcine, much more connected to the spirit than I've been, made a comment as our kids were very young. And she said, "I don't think that the Easter bunny should visit our house." She wanted the entire focus of the Easter Sunday to be on the Savior. And I have really grown to love that. The focus is on the Savior. It's not on the eggs getting colored. We've done that off and on over the years. It's not on the eggs being hidden. We've done that off and on over the years. It's not on the baskets. We really haven't done that. We might have done it a few times over the years. It's not on really anything that is a secular thing. And here are my thoughts. Without Easter, without the events that we celebrate, that we commemorate on Easter Sunday, and really the entire Holy Week, the crucifixion, the darkness, the time in the tomb, the resurrection, and the glorious event that was. Without that, there's no meaning in our lives. I remember teaching a class one time, and I was just trying to express the point, and I don't know if there's a really effective way to do this, but as humans, and really once we hit the age of accountability, about 8 years old, once we get to the point where we can consciously make a decision to do something, right or wrong, we're accountable for our decisions. As soon as we make that first wrong choice, we're lost. We're done. There's no coming back. There's no amount of good that can erase a bad. There are object lessons or I guess you can call them parable type stories that I've heard. Somebody who is worried about how they maybe have spread a story that wasn't true. And so they went to a guru, a priest or somebody and said, "Hey, can you help me make this right?" And the answer, the quest that this person was sent on is get a bag of feathers. And everybody that you told this piece of gossip to, put a feather on their doorstep. And so he went through the neighborhood and put feathers on all the doorsteps. And it took some time. And after he had completed that, he went back and said, "Okay, I've done that. I've put feathers on all the doorsteps. Now what? Now what can I do to make this right?" And the mentor said, "Now go collect the feather from every doorstep. And with winds and with movement of air," of course, there was no way to collect the feathers. And that's how mistakes are in our life. There's no amount of good that you can do that's going to overcome, that's going to erase or eliminate any mistake, which means we're completely lost. We're completely there's no way. There's no way that we can overcome it. There is no way by our own means that we can overcome the effects of even a single bad choice. And because God is God and he demands justice, we're hopelessly lost. There's no way we can return to be with him unless there's somebody who would pay the price and vouch for us. And that was Jesus Christ, who decided that he would pay the price. Marcin and I went to a Easter sing-along type. It wasn't a Messiah sing-along, though we did sing the Messiah from Handel. But there were several different musical numbers and things. And there's one that is called "This is the Christ." I didn't know I was going to talk about it, so I didn't pull it up. But one of the words is, "How many drops of blood were shed for me?" And the answer that keeps coming to my mind is all of them. It's not that, well, I'm good on a scale of 1 to 10. I'm a 5. And so therefore there were this many drops. No, I think they were all shed for me and they were all shed for you. And I think that if it were just me, or if it were just you that needed that sacrifice, I think that he would have done it. I think he would have done it for you or for me. And if that's true, then what do we owe him? And really, simply put, we just owe him our will. Whatever he wants for me to do, that's what I want to do. That's it. We just need to follow him. If you love me, keep my commandments. And so the best way that we can show him that we love him is to be obedient to the things that he would have us do. I am absolutely not a perfect example of that. But I am amazed, I'm humbled to know that that is what this is all about. That's what this week, culminating on Sunday, if you're listening as I release this, that's what this week is all about, is a reminder that he did this for you and for me. And all we have to do is accept it. All we have to do is follow him, keep his commandments, and that's it. That's all I've got for you for this week. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to Chocolate Cake Bites. Please like, share, subscribe, and give us a 5-star rating and review. We'd love to hear your comments and ideas, and you can reach out to me at ken@chocolatecakebites.com. And before you end the day, take a few minutes to consider, who do you know who needs chocolate cake?